It's here and now. So hope you're having a nice day. Insert smiley face emoticon here. Was that the beginning of the end of the word nice? One of our colleagues knows of a middle school teacher who's banned the word nice from her students' writing. In 2011, a journalist in Publishers Weekly was quoted as saying, "If you want to say nothing in the most efficient way possible, just say something is nice." And then, of course, there was the late comedian George Carlin.
It's just a weak word. Doesn't have a lot of character, you know. Nice. Isn't he nice? Oh, he is so nice.
Well, author Josh Chetwin thinks that nice has gotten a bad rap, that nice words, gestures, images can be powerful shorthand for the virtues we consider important. And he's collected stories behind those nice gestures. Applause. Did you know that at one time the highest form of praise was to wave the end of your toga? Then there's the happy birthday song and the rock stars of niceness, please and thank you. They're all in the Book of Nice, a nice book about nice things for nice people. And one of them, nice people, Josh, joins us from KGNU in Denver, Colorado. Josh, nice to speak with you.
Nice to speak with you as well, Robin.
Oh, and stop it.
I was going to say, you said I was a nice person, and I have to tell you, I describe myself as aspirationally nice, because if you're truly nice, you can't actually call yourself nice.
Oh, there you go. That's right. You wouldn't do that. Well, let's get to some of the aspects of niceness that you cite. Start with applause. You say it appears in the writings of the Romans, from Horace to Seneca the Elder. It starts right there with the Romans.
Yeah, it was one element of adulation going back to the Romans. And as you mentioned, it wasn't necessarily the highest. The ovation, the applause, they weren't as high as waving your toga, but it was something that was considered very impressive and valuable, so much so that Nero, who was famous for allegedly fiddling when Rome was burning, although that's pretty much an apocryphal story, but wasn't very well loved. He was so not loved that when he would do some artistic actions, he would do certain things that were sort of on the artistic side, he would actually go out and hire people that were called augustals, whose job it was to actually applaud for him. And this was a story that actually came down for many hundreds of years, so much so that in France, hundreds of years later, a group set up something called the Claque, and that's spelled C-L-A-Q-U-E. Mm-hmm. And it was basically a applause for hire organization. One thing we understand about nice is that it taps into something called our mirror neurons. And these are neurons that basically want us to do things that other people do as well. So by clapping, by having that adulation, even if it was fake, it was a way to sort of increase that nice behavior and get people to do it sincerely.
This is fascinating because, of course, we wonder, well, what happened? Because now, of course, you never applaud, let's say, during a performance of classical music that's in several movements. Well, it's because people like Wagner and George Bernard Shaw demanded an end to the claque. They ordered that people not applaud during the programming because they didn't want these paid audience members to be applauding. And so it ended right there.
Well, absolutely. And this goes back to one thing we see a lot with nice behavior, which is that things come on and off the spectrum. And the reason for that is that at some time, people have backlash. Have a nice day is the perfect example. If we were to go in a time machine back to the late 70s, everybody was doing it. Hey, have a nice day. But there was huge backlash. George Carlin also talked about that as well. So it is something with nice that things will stay on for a while, fall off, and then sometimes come back as applause did.
Hello. Hello has not always been around. You write about big break between the rivals Alexander Graham Bell and Thomas Edison. Bell, the first to receive a patent for a telephone, but he was in favor of ahoy. Thomas Edison was the hello fan.
Well, this is one of my favorite stories because you think of Edison, you think of Graham as these great scientists, great inventors, but they actually played a huge role in the way we talk nowadays. And this wasn't until the end of the 19th century when they got into their war of words. And the only reason that Edison won and the reason we say hello rather than ahoy is because Edison had a contract with Western Union, which was the first major operator of telephones. So he was able to tell operators, well, when you answer the phone, say hello. And that's really the only reason that we don't say ahoy today.
And it was originally seen as something of a vulgarity.
Yeah, very much so. It came from sort of the Vikings and the Norse. And there were books even going up into the 20th century that said that it was vulgar to use the phrase or the term hello. And what's interesting about a hello, and it's an English oddity, is that it's one of the few words that started as a response on the telephone and had crossover into our everyday life. So when we see someone on the street, of course, we say hello. If you go to a number of other languages, whether it's Spanish or French, they don't use the same word that they use on the phone as they do when they greet someone on the street.
Let's move on to a box of chocolates. One of the nicest things, you know. We learned the Cadbury brothers in England were the first to make box chocolates successful in the late 1800s. And they actually used their profits to promote niceness.
The Cadburys were Quakers, and they cared very deeply about their employees. When they finally had success, they were great at marketing their boxes of chocolates once they learned how to make edible chocolate. The first thing they did was to add pensions, to give more time to their employees. And I love when the nice history dovetails with nice people, and that's a perfect example.
Okay, there's so much here. I mean, I'm looking at the words thank you and sorry. They are both, we learn from you, I miss this in English, they are behabitive, which means they communicate a person's disposition. Thank you. Where did thank you come from?
If you look at the etymology of the word thank you, it comes from a number of different languages, but basically means thoughtfulness or being thoughtful. So what you're saying when you're saying thankful is basically, I appreciate your thoughtfulness. And when you start thinking about it in those terms, I think thank you takes on greater meaning. If you just sort of say the word, you know, it's just some word in a vacuum. But when you understand that what you're really trying to say is your thoughtfulness is something that I have gratitude for, then it really has more meaning.
Yeah. I just have to get this one in. The song Happy Birthday, we've actually reported on this. It is under copyright, which a lot of people don't know. There have been some lawsuits, but you are supposed to pay people when you sing it, which is why there was this scene on that 1990s TV show Sports Night, a sports anchor getting in trouble with his network for singing it on the air. Let's listen.
It's against the law to sing Happy Birthday on television.
Federal copyright law.
Happy Birthday is protected material.
Yes.
Who holds the copyright to Happy Birthday?
The representatives of Mildred and Patty Hill.
Mildred and Patty Hill.
The authors.
The authors.
They wrote it.
They wrote the song.
Did you think that song just happened?
Well, yeah.
It didn't.
Live and learn.
Yes, indeed.
Would they be happy with an autographed hat?
Yes, they would.
Great.
Along with $2,500.
I'm sorry?
They've billed the network $2,500.
Josh, you tell us the story of Mildred and Patty Hill, who wrote this song. Does their estate get money for it?
Well, their estate actually doesn't get the money from it, but the copyright that was created by the estate and then sold along to corporations definitely does, to the tune of more than $2 million a year.
Wait, from who?
From people who sing the song. So if you sing the song publicly, you are meant to pay. Now, obviously, it's not collected in most instances. If you're at a park, there isn't the copyright police who are there to nab you and make you pay. But there are enough instances where it's done publicly where the money actually does siphon through to a corporate entity, and it's changed hands a number of times. What's interesting about the song, and I get into the history of it, it was one of those situations where the Hills wrote the song, the music for it, but the lyrics came on later. And it's very unclear about the provenance of the song itself, but somehow through litigation, the Hills were able to hold on to the copyright of Happy Birthday to You. And as a result, once it was sold on, it's been able to remain held by a company. At some point, it will go into the public domain. I think that people will be very pleased by that fact.
Well, there's so much more. Why We Blow a Kiss, Why We Serve Wedding Cake, how Cary Grant inspired the Hotel Pillow Mint, that we'll just have to wait for another day. Josh Chetwynd, his book is The Book of Nice, a nice book about nice things for nice people. Josh, so nice to talk to you.
The pleasure was all mine. Thanks, Robin.
No, it was mine. Thank you.
Thanks. Have a nice day.
You know you have a nice day. We'll post Cary Grant's Hotel Mint story at hereandnow.org. And there are six songs with Have a Nice Day in it. Of course, we chose the Ramones. Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. I'm Robin Young. Please join us again. Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software. Find over 200 job openings at mathworks.com.
PRI, Public Radio International.
I'm Robin Young. Join us next time for the news and these stories here and now. Remember the days when gas cost $1.50 a gallon? That's how cheap it is now to fill up with natural gas. Drivers are doing it, but pumps are few and far between. Also, movie stars accused of co-opting Kickstarter to fund projects. Is it time to call it Rich Starter? That's Public Radio's Daily Digest of News and Culture, here and now.